Hey, what it do with the business is?
It is another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, Animal_Brown, if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and sometimes Snap.
Absolutely, and I am Spike Lou on the same socials. Catch me in these tweet streets if you're looking for me. How you holding up out there, champ, is a normal question these days.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Hey, listen.
Cases are up.
We asking us that question. You got to ask your people that, though, man. Like, yeah. hit your people up you ain't heard from in a minute.
No, that's good. That's real spit, man. Like, just call your people and say what's up. Hey, how you doing? You holding up well? It'll make you feel better, and it'll make them feel better, too, man. Just you know, we men, we can do that, and ain't nothing wrong with checking on your homeboy, man.
Absolutely. Now, I'm super good, though. I think we finna go back into a... I think we might be going backwards, though.
Absolutely, man. If you've been... You don't even watch the news, and you know it.
Nope.
So it's a lot of cases. It's going up. It's getting like people are now. There's a funny thing about America. People are like, oh, shit, I guess we should take this serious now. After you've been warned and told and you go out anyway without a mask. Now people are fucking starting to get scared.
Yeah, that's usually how shit go.
I'm nervous before we get into it. I'm nervous. We're not going to have a football season.
That's going to hurt.
Rough.
That's going to hurt. I'm going to come clean.
Well, I'm gonna wear this too. We don't got no.
Oh my god!
Season. Let's go! Let's go! Well, I'm gonna get to wear that too, man.
That shit garbage. hey man, we got a great episode lined up. But first, before we get into what it is that we'll be speaking about, man, we have to say a rest in peace to QC artist Marlo here in Atlanta over the weekend. He was the victim of a drive-by on the interstate on I-285 down here. This was late Saturday night. He succumbed to several bullet wounds, man. It's a real crazy story. He was really close to Lil Baby, tied down here in the community heavy. He survived by a little girl. He was only 30 years old. So rest in peace to up-and-coming artist Marlo.
Yeah, our condolences out to Marlo, his people, man. It was a rough situation. As you stated, QC artist, people referred to him as thorough, true and true, a real Atlanta nigga. You look at some of his videos, some of his talk, he was Atlanta to the core. It seemed like he had some talent and had some stuff going with the rap game. Very, very sorry to hear about the loss, man, and rough times, man. Allegedly, he was like leaving the projects, and you know, so it wasn't just like a random somebody pulled up to him and shot him on the interstate. I think they followed him from where he was.
Mm.
And when they got the opportunity, they pulled up on him and done it.
So. You hear that more often than not down here, though. I can't remember who
getting
it was.
Getting shoot on the interstate? Yeah. Exactly. That's a thing down 20. Here, man. Yeah. It was a nigga that was telling that story on one of them DVDs. Like the... Yep. Fuck, I can't remember his name. But yeah, that's one of them things down here, man.
Yeah, that's shit. Wild, man.
So, rest in peace, Marlo, man. Condolences to his people, man.
Most definitely, man. Now let's segue into what we got coming up on this week's show, man. Today, we're rapping about Vince Staples. He gives high praise to Atlanta rappers. We've got a break in the Pop Smoke case, and we review that Freddie Gibbs Alfredo album, Better Late Than Never, all right? And we debate whether it's already album of the year. But first... the late Chicago rapper Juice WRLD dropped his first release since dying of an accidental overdose last year. The album Legends Never Die is on pace to not only hit number one, but to reach upwards of 450,000 first week. Nuts. Did we underestimate Juice WRLD's impact?
No, I don't think so. I started to notice it when he died. People of the generation under us and how the regard that they had for him. So especially being an album coming out after he passed, you knew it was going to do big numbers. So I think this is about right. He had a big fan base, man. And people, you know, just because I didn't listen to him doesn't mean he wasn't a talented dude. I've been watching some of the clips of the freestyles and things like that, that he's done. So, I mean, he was talented. So I'm not surprised by these numbers. I'm not surprised by his impact. I'm not surprised by the response that happened, you know, once he passed away in the mourning of him. He was a big deal for that next generation, man. So these numbers are right on tack for what I expected. What do you think?
Yeah, I was surprised, but I didn't have a clue. I'm going to keep it a stack.
You watched.
I am. I'm very washed. And I had listened. Here's the thing, though. I got put on the Juice WRLD when he did the album with Future. That's what made me kind of listen to him and check him out. That was in 2018. Then that made me listen to his solo album that came out last year. Neither one of those really did anything for me. They were just okay. Had a couple of one or two bangers on there that I rock with. But this latest album, though, that just came out, I was like, man, let me run this back and see what it's hitting on. This album is tough.
Really?
Like, it's
I'm
rocking with it. Now, look, it's not, we're not the audience for it. It's teenage melodrama, you know, a little bit of genre bending in terms of, or blending, I should say, with alternative and hip hop, which I rock with. But it's definitely for the 21 and under crowd. That's who he's talking to, kind of the loner. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit of depressing stuff in there. A lot of drug references, which is kind of, when you listen back now and, you know, you see how he died, it kind of, it's a little awkward, to say the least. But his fan base, if he's damn near pushing 500 this week, which is crazy. I wouldn't have seen that, man. They said he damn near, the Spotify was crashing with people trying to listen to it. But I get it.
Crash Spotify?
Yeah.
They bullshit.
Like, that shit, that shit is wild. But I get it, though. When you listen to it, you understand he's a talented. He was a talented songwriter. His music has high replay value. It's very catchy. Its production is top-notch. This doesn't sound like a posthumous album. It sounds like this was close to being completed when he was alive, unlike Pop Smoke's project last week, which kind of sounded like it was put together, you know, after the fact.
This they one sounded like he was 700 close to songs from Pop Smoke, though.
Yeah, I heard that, but that Pop Smoke, those sounded like experimental joints.
I think that was the way he was going.
Yeah, it sounded experimental.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Juice WRLD and the impact that it's made. One of the interesting things that was brought to me, and again, I haven't listened to it yet. Very rarely, I got DP, my guy, said something interesting, very rarely. But he did say that listening to this was hard to do since, you know, the way that Juice WRLD died. Did you think the same when listening to it, or did that not cross your mind?
No, it's definitely a little eerie. He makes several references to pills and depression and things of that nature. And that was a real thing for him. His mom spoke on it prior to him passing. You know, that was a real thing. Mm-hmm. And so it is a little eerie. You know, you hate to see it kind of go out like that. But I mean, it kind of is what it is at this point. But his fans are even saying that there's conspiracies behind this. They're even putting a conspiracy on. They say he called his own death. He's got a couple of bars where he said, forget the 27 club. You know, we don't make it past 21, when he was referring to XXX and Lil Peep. And now him, he died a week after his 21st birthday. So. And of course, the 27 Club is the artists and musicians and the
James Dean
and the talented people who died at 27. Basquiat.
This is gonna sound Amy callous. Winehouse. This is gonna sound callous, but when you're doing drugs like that and living that lifestyle, I don't think the expectation. I don't think it's crazy to say that I'm gonna die at 21. Like,
that's fair.
You know, so it's a different style than we grew up on, that we're accustomed to, and I'm. One thing that I will say, I'm a lot more tolerant of it than I was when it first started. I can remember almost having those get off my lawn moments when you talking about him and A Boogie and all of these and most of these new guys. But now you learn to appreciate what they're good at. And Juice WRLD definitely, while it's not for me, has some talent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He died on the same day as John Lennon, too. So wow. It's a lot of interesting tidbits, man.
That's how we was when Pac died, though.
Oh, of course.
Just wasn't no internet.
Absolutely, right. Man.
Moving on, Shy Glizzy, your mans.
That's my boy.
He is upset, and Shy Glizzy is upset at Uzi. He sent him a fuck you, a real big fuck you, after Uzi sent Shy Glizzy an invoice for an old feature.
Damn.
Now, who do you think is more out of line here, Uzi for sending over the invoice or Glizzy for the fuck you response?
And this fuck you was on social media like every other message.
Said he tried to call him.
Posted. Yeah. He did. Now, this is what we have here. We have a failure to communicate. I don't know what type of understanding that Shy Glizzy had, thinking that he doesn't have to pay for features or – that a feature swap with Lil Uzi was even? That was an even trade?
Fam.
No, it's not. Lil Uzi, I don't look at them as the same tier of artist. No shade. No shade to Young Hefe, because that's my guy. If y'all remember Shy Glizzy, he had a song a couple years ago, I'm So Awesome, just giving some reference to the people maybe like, who is that? He's from DMV. Had a hit, I'm So Awesome, a couple of years ago. His star has faded a little bit since then, although he has a nice cult following, which I am a part of. I rock with his music. Mm. There's levels to this, bro.
You rock with Shy Glizzy music?
Yeah, I like some of Shy Glizzy stuff. Mm. He had a single maybe like a month or two ago that is fire, that Lonely Vibes.
You have to put that much emphasis on fire, I promise.
Man, that song is hard. And
you'll fuck with Lizzie song.
Yeah, you'll be like, then that's banging. Watch when you live, you'll be like, oh, okay, I ain't gonna lie, that's banging. So you can't be upset for thinking that you're gonna eat off the feature for no cost and not having to cut Roc Nation a check for services rendered. This is how it goes, dude. This is why Roc Nation is here, to protect Uzi's interest and to get every cent that is owed to him. So that's part of the game, bro. Let's be real.
Yeah, you took it a lot easier on Shy Glizzy, apparently because you like his last single, than I'm about to. Man, people fucking kill me that are in the music business, and then they're fucking surprised that it's business.
That's true.
Lil Uzi ain't doing no swaps with you, bro. Like, in what life is that fair? Yeah. And I'm not mad at him for being upset about being charged, because it was an old feature.
Right.
Roc Nation took management control of Lil Uzi not too long ago. This was recent as well. So they could be going back through some catalog and like just collecting on some past due stuff. That's not Lil Uzi's problem. He got a lot of shit going on. He's a fucking megastar.
It's not his fault either.
He probably has nothing to do with this. Right. And like you said, signing a contract with Roc Nation, not his fault. I didn't see that in the deal. My bad, bro. My problem with Shy Glizzy, the people around him, or however this he responded in the fuck you, is you have to take this as business. These are learning experiences. Like, okay, you got charged with this verse. You got it. Pay it. Now you know moving forward not to expect a free verse from Lil Uzi, and you know how to conduct your business. This is a business, dude. This is not the music bar game, none of that. Like, people don't do shit for free. And it surprises me every time when people think that they've gotten taken advantage of and how they react. It's not cool that you got taken advantage of, but you're in business, and I'm sorry it's going to happen. Sometimes we say yes to bad deals. That's it. That's business. How you respond to that is how you are successful in business. And responding to an invoice with fuck you, that's some bullshit. That's some
shit. Here's the thing. He thought they were cool.
That's cool.
And people do swap. Let's be clear. People do swap outs all the time, but you have to be on the same level. It's got to make sense for both parties. You getting a slight, Lil Uzi getting a shy Glizzy verse on that Eternal Take.
Mm-hmm.
Does way more for Shy Glizzy than it does for Lil Uzi Vert. Let's be 1,000% honest. Like, that's not an even trade. So, but I have so many questions though.
Well, I mean, I got questions too, and one of them is the emotion. Like, I don't understand the emotional response. Well, I guess he's a young guy, so he's not sure. But he, young guys listening, here's a better way to handle that, in my opinion.
Okay.
If you can't get in touch with him, he can't get in touch with Uzi.
Because he said he did try. Was,
okay, he said he tried, exactly. He couldn't get in touch with him. That's why he went to the fuck you on the internet. You don't got to pay the invoice right now. Like, your credit not going to be bad, bro. So next time I see Lil Uzi, since we are cool, like you said, I'm going to ask him about it. I'm going to say, hey, bro, you know, I got like a $500,000 invoice from your mans and them. Did you know about that? I ain't paid it yet or nothing like that, but did you know? Right there in his face. Now you got to give me a reason not to be cool with you, because if you act like a sucker now, I can say fuck you. But responding emotionally before you're able to just get to the bottom of it, like, I'm sure Roc Nation didn't send a 30-day like response where you had to pay that invoice in 30 days. My nigga, that shit going to sit till I get to the bottom of it. It's business. That's business. So I'll move that over here to the pile of shit that don't need to happen right now. Thank Glizzy, you, Uzi, but you're not hurting.
Glizzy said that he has never had to pay for a feature ever.
That's why he at where he at, dude. That's why I didn't hear that last single. That's why he's not popping now. You don't think you got to fucking pay for shit, and this ain't the music business, my nigga, then appreciate being Shy Glizzy right there where you at, nigga.
How much was the tab is the question. It had to be something for the initiate this response.
$250.
Nah, get the fuck out of here.
Who is it? Rock Nation?
He not charging $250 for no verse, bro.
If it's $250.
Nah, bro. That's a show at a college, maybe.
I'm charging Shy Glizzy $250 for him. Out of here. Nah, really say at least $60,000.
Hey, boy, he ain't want to come off them six. Shy Glizzy ain't want to come off them six, not during a pandemic.
Absolutely not. He ain't got no show money to make. He mad for that. 60. Uzi don't need them 60. Uzi straight.
Niggas not doing shows, bro. I've heard through the grapevine he's not the best with his money.
But he just did numbers, though. Like, he recently just did numbers. He just got a check. He didn't do that already. He need to do something else. But he just got a check because he released, so they paid him for that.
For the record, the song is called Right or Wrong. If anybody's interested to see if that Uzi verse was worth 50 or 60. Huh?
How long ago did it come out?
I think January. And Uzi ripped it, though.
Yeah, come on with my money for that then, buddy.
He ripped it. I ain't even gonna lie. He snapped on there.
He should have responded and said, nigga, what you want, a discount?
Uzi responded and said, I don't talk to rappers that I don't know.
He said that to him?
Yeah, no, he said that on IG.
I like Uzi, man. That's the energy right there. Talking about, man, cool. Nigga, you ain't getting no free verse.
Free verse is nuts. Right. Moving on, let's take it to the West Coast, man. Vince Staples. Now, in response to fans saying that T.I. didn't have a chance against 50 in a battle, Vince Staples tweeted out, and I quote, Atlanta got the best rappers ever, and it's not even close, end quote. T.I. picked up on that, gave him a little shout-out on Twitter. Now, my question is, does Vince have a point? Do the best rappers come from Atlanta?
What T.I. said?
He just said this guy's on to something, you know, something like that. He just retweeted it and said something. He just co-signed it.
The guy's got a great point, man. And if don't nobody else ride for the South, I guess we got to do it over here at the On Deck TV podcast. That's where I'm from. So I'm going to ride with Vince and be biased and say yes. I'm going to go with it because the other answer would be probably New York or East Coast. Compton, California. Somewhere like one of those two answers. So I'm going to ride for the South and say, based on the variety, the different types of music that you get, long as they've been running the game, the difference and the reason I feel like that Atlanta may have an edge on New York is because the style's been a lot more influential. I just think that more people are trying to do what they're seeing being done in Atlanta and what started in Atlanta, that sound, like that trap music, what it's blown up to. So I got to give the edge to Atlanta as a whole for having the best rappers. Not bar for bar, like you can't. I'm not putting Jay-Z versus Andre 3 Stacks. I'm not doing it that way. But if I'm talking about a talent pool of rappers, it's got to be Atlanta. So I agree with Vince.
First of all, let's set the stage of who we're talking about.
Okay.
This is Vince Staples.
That's my guy.
You could argue he's more known for his personality and his statement than his music at this point today.
To you, he's very popular in the hipster community.
I can see that. He's one of the more opinionated rappers.
Facts.
And that's fine. This is the same person who said the 2000 era of hip-hop was better than the 90s era of hip-hop, which was supreme cap. Let's be very clear about that. So I took this as him throwing out bait for the blogs to chew on it, and we took it. We fell for it. It's good bait. Here we are talking about it, debating it. Atlanta's influence is huge today. There's no question about that. But for the first 20 years, nigga, the influence came from the East Coast. You're saying that everybody sounds like they from Atlanta now? Guess what everybody sounded like before, bro? We've heard this in numerous interviews from everybody, from Nelly to T.I. Everybody wanted to rap like a New York person because that's what was popping at the time until they found their own sound.
No, it's not true. You clearly didn't watch my 3-time on this show recommended Netflix series.
I watched a little bit of it.
You didn't watch it when it got to Houston.
No,
and what they were talking about is around the same time that those guys in New York were quote unquote creating hip hop, Willie D was doing his thing. You go further down south, Luke was doing his thing. And if you go to the West Coast, Too Short and Ice-T as well. So I don't agree with it started in New York and everybody was trying to sound like them. They just had the most media access. They had That's the buildings. I mean. So everybody wasn't trying to sound like them. They just thought you had to sound like them to get signed. People exactly. that weren't concerned with getting signed and just doing their own thing, like UGK, they just sounded like UGK. So I just think, and it's a whole conversation to be had probably on a whole podcast topic about that, but it's the New York bias and thinking that hip hop was started in New York or that's the popular sound of hip hop or was is I don't agree with that. That's not
true. And there's a million artists who were either on right now or were on that will tell you that is who I wanted to sound like when I first came out. I wanted to sound like
it's also artists that tell you that. Like Willie D would tell you, I started rapping in 83, thinking I have no idea who those people are.
Man, I don't believe that.
They talked about it on the Netflix series that you should have watched.
If you look at Vince's tweets shortly after, he also tweeted out, quote, it's 10 billion rappers from Atlanta, and they all got a classic song and unique outfits.
I don't see that. He just
they probably got more outfits than they got songs. Come on, being bro.
You just had to throw that on there after I vehemently defended his point. You just had to wait with that in the tuck and just throw that out there. That was pretty savvy.
Being silly, dog. Like, I get it. He did mention Young Dro. He said Young Dro can wrap circles around a lot of people. And he doesn't even get mentioned in the top tier Atlanta artists. So I get what he's saying. The pool is deep and they're hot right now for sure.
I got
have recency bias, man. Let's remember our history, people.
Yeah, whatever. Speaking of Young Dro, okay. I put a question out there last week and got a lot of response on it. I don't think that I got to hear you. Versus battle, 7 songs, because that's all you're going to get. Shit. Young Dro versus Jim Jones, who you got?
Jim Jones? Because he got Dipset.
He using solo shit. He don't get to.
You can't add asterisks by it and shit.
He don't get to pick from Diplomatic Immunity. Young Dro got 7 hits.
He does?
Absolutely. It ain't even a question. FDB.
What is that, the undercard to T.I. and 50?
Facts. Somebody responded to me and said, it don't matter. I just give me a Colt 45 and some Newports to enjoy the battle.
That's fair.
I found fucking hilarious.
And true. I can respect that.
Absolutely. Next.
Yep.
Before we get to the topic, your man's Freddie Gibbs album of the year discussion, we want to get out of here on the last of the quick hits with NBA Youngboy.
Mm.
The young man tried to go to his label and trade in his last 4 albums. And what did he want in return? Only his masters. That's it. Just his masters. And the label, are you surprised? Said no. Absolutely not. Thanks, but no thanks. Do you think that would have been a good deal for NBA Youngboy? Yes or no?
He wanted to trade in his next 4 that aren't done yet in exchange for his masters. That would have been a great deal. Like, kudos to Youngboy for trying to take control of his career and own those master recordings. Like, people are making it cool to say, I own my masters, and that I love that shit. That's ownership. If people don't know, masters is how your grandkids eat off your hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's cool to be a rapper and be signed and get that upfront money. A lot of that shit has to be recouped. You know what I'm saying? You get smacked. A lot of times you get the money on the front end and don't see anything on the back end while the labels eat good for the rest of their life off of your blood, sweat, and tears. He's got a full career ahead of him. This won't be the only time he'll come to the negotiating table. I'm sure he'll figure it out. He's only 20. You know what I'm saying? He inked a 5-album, $2 million deal 3 years ago with Atlantic. So that's who he was trying to get his masters from. A lot of his fans felt some type of way when he signed that deal because they thought he got lowballed.
He did.
So, yeah, probably so, especially if he don't own his masters or nothing, man.
$2
so they
million just, for 5 albums?
It's probably a 360 deal too, man.
Damn.
So, he took an L. I wish I could sit here and say I would be surprised that he signed a bad deal, but I'm not. But at least he's wising up, man, and somebody's in his ear trying to get him to get this paper. Kudos to the rappers recently who have got control of their masters, like 21 Savage and 2 Chainz, man. Shout out to them. But I respect Youngboy for making this play, though.
So you think it would have been a good deal if he had gotten it?
Yeah, you got to do that. Ownership is everything, man. He loses on the front end. So, you know, you can't get the Hellcat that you was about to get. Like, who gives a shit? You want the Masters. You want those checks to roll in 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea. I'm not surprised by the answer because it's not a good deal for the label. You got a young guy like NBA Youngboy who moves the meter, and he got a long career ahead of him. And in having a long career ahead of him, record companies see how this shit go. They know this shit like the back of their hand. This is their business. I think their expectation may be if something happens to him, being the type of artist that he is, we want to hold on to this.
Mm.
Like we were just talking about with Juice WRLD, NBA Youngboy going to be bring a lot of value if something were to happen to him. And I always think, well, not always, but with artists like NBA Youngboy that have a troubled past, I think that labels do consider those things.
Some insurance?
Artists catalog worth a lot more when they pass.
That's true.
They cash it in now and give him his masters, and he has that going to his estate as opposed to his label. They're going to miss out on a whole lot of money if something happens. So I just think that they look at things like that, and they're not making this deal with him. I do agree with you. It's great that he's starting to think that way now. Even at 20 years old, he's going to be able to make enough music to get to where he is independent. The other guys you mentioned, 2 Chainz, those guys, they pushing 40. So this is
not 21, though. 21 Savage is a young cat who got his master.
He's 30.
Really?
Gotta be.
No fucking way.
He
not 21?
He gotta be at least 27, 28. But yeah, those are older guys, a lot older than young boys. So I do respect what he's doing. And he got a strong movement. If y'all don't listen to him, your little nephew, your little niece probably does. Like every time he dropped millions of YouTube views, he does numbers in the streets.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. Shout out to him, man. We'll see. We'll see how that turned out. I feel like Atlantic kind of had an insurance policy on him. That's why they gave him that amount just in case, because he has had a couple of run-ins with the law. He has, he's coming from a place where not a lot of people make it out of. Baton Rouge is on another level.
Hard to get out of Baton Rouge, man.
So it's a little bit of insurance with that low ball ass deal, but he'll be straight though, man. He got to put his head down and keep going. Fuck it.
Yeah. He can drop albums monthly.
Exactly. He's gonna put out some bullshit. Watch. Watch with these next 2 or 3. it's gonna be some slaw. Man, let's get to the topic at hand. Our long overdue Freddie Gibbs Alfredo album review / album of the year discussion, because this album is getting a lot of buzz, albeit it's only July. We still have a lot of year left. It is getting a lot of buzz. It's being hailed as album of the year out of a lot of camps, out of a lot of podcasts. So we thought it'd be a good discussion to have, about having possibly the album of the year already out with 5 months left. But first and foremost, I do want to get your thoughts on the album because we have not talked about it in depth. I already know your expectation. You are Freddie Gibbs' number one hater.
That's not true.
I know you went into the album not expecting much. But how did you feel when you heard it?
Lies, first and foremost. My name is not DJ Academics, so I am not the number one Freddie Gibbs hater. But
that's true. Top three.
With that being said, I called this. Like Babe Ruth called this shot. I put it in the group chat. I put it on Twitter. I said it. I said that this would be Freddie Gibbs' best album to date.
Why? What made you say that?
I seen the roll up. I seen what he was getting to. That last one was good. I seen what he was building up to. A lot of you Freddie Gibbs fans like to sprinkle saying that this is a classic Bandana or this Turtle Soup song that he has is a classic. Jesus. All of this different shit. But I knew Freddie Gibbs was going to capitalize during the quarantine, that he was going to come out with an album like Alfredo. So I was expecting it. I was expecting this to be the best Freddie Gibbs album to date. And boy, was I right.
Listen,
should I do a lap?
No. There's no need. I will say this. I said this last time. He's been on a roll. Call him Butter. He's been on a roll. Bandana was amazing. He's been cooking. I thought the Freddie project was amazing. I thought the Fetty with he and Currency was super dope. Mm-hmm. So he's been on a cooking spree as of late. And with this one, it's no different. When I seen that Alchemist was going to, when he was pairing with Alchemist, who is Dark Horse MVP this year.
Facts.
Alchemist has been killing shit on a production tilt. And this lived up to the hype, man. It's short, straight to the point, 10 tracks. Cinematic. Production is A1. The bars are on point. Gibbs has done a complete 180, dude. Like, he's...
A complete 180? He hasn't always been this good, Freddie Gibbs?
He's done a 180 by running away from the commercial sound and sticking with the B-side sample-heavy music. We can thank a number of people for making that in right now. Most of them come from Buffalo, New York. Shout out to Griselda. Yeah. Them sticking to their guns and sticking to the script has opened the door wider, in my opinion, for someone like a Freddie Gibbs who didn't come out on this sound. He didn't sound like this when he came out in terms of production. He was trying to do like the rapper shit on CTE and having singles and having videos and shit. Now he can just make good music. Like the internet is your radio. You don't need to make a catchy bop with, you know, harmonizing it. You ain't got to do that shit. You can make what you want. You can make it grimy. You can make it gritty. Some straight Gary, Indiana shit. This is top tier hip hop. And I respect it. I loved it as soon as I heard it. I thought the very first song, which actually Complex has, they have his verse on the first song as the best verse of the year so far, obviously. 1985. That shit is crazy.
I ripped it.
And I've heard at least 4 or 5 people hit me up and say, hey, bro, I ain't gonna lie, man. You were right. Gibbs is nice. Like, this was his coming out party.
You were right.
Absolutely. I hear that a lot. Let's not get it twisted. But specifically in this Freddie Gibbs instance, I've been talking about him forever and a day. A lot of people didn't get it. That's okay. Better late than never. Welcome to the party. Drinks are served in the corner.
You said it perfectly when you were doing your breakdown. It wasn't about getting Freddie Gibbs. He's found his lane now. He's not on CTE. He's not trying to do singles. He's not doing the girly song, though we will get to Scottie Beamon. But one of my biggest problems with Freddie Gibbs previously to this is I didn't feel like he was himself. I feel like he leaned too much on trying to be a nigga from Gary that sold drugs. He's funny. He got a lot more to him than that, and I don't think that he was letting that come out in the rap as he is now. Now I listen to his album like I just listened to it last night again in preparation. That shit is thoroughly entertaining. Like, that nigga, he an entertaining dude. Just having conversations. I listened to him on Jemele Hill podcast. He was talking about his dad having beef with Michael Jackson, and that's just funny. Like, he's an entertaining dude. I love his personality. I don't think that was showing in the music until now. As of late, he's been able to get there more and more and more with each album that I've been checking out, and that's why I felt that this album would be so good, that he would not try to be what CTE would have wanted him to be, and more so what Freddie Gibbs wants to be.
To be fair, he's been off CTE for several years now.
I can't tell. He's still talking about Jeezy, though. Still people, talking about.
People still ask about Jeezy.
Do they?
Yes, they do. Famous. But the album, I want to get to some highlights. And it's really like, bro, like the album is damn near flawed. Like everything from the features to the production, like I'm glad he squashed his little riff that he had with Ross. I don't even know if Ross was aware of the riff.
He had a problem because Ross is
was with MMG. Well, yeah, that too. But he got a couple of bars. I think I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago. But he's got some bars aimed at Ross and MMG. But that's when he was flying the CTE flag. I don't know if they even rapped about it.
Hey, but man, pause there, right there. Ross may be the best nigga at handling like little sneak disses and beefs. I don't know, not sure if the internet scene or you guys seen on the internet. I mean, after 50 was talking about him being a CEO and made the comments about Meek.
Yeah.
And he was in the car playing the Hate or the Love It verse.
That shit was funny.
Talking about how much he loved. He said, man, this is nigga best verse right here. Then he was emphasizing the mama was a dyke and emphasizing these niggas that stole my bike. Man, Rick Ross is a character. That shit was great. That shit was great. I fucking loved it, man. If y'all didn't
grew up confused. My mama kissing the girl. Yeah.
He was essentially was in the car just going over 50s. What's the name of that song?
Hated or Love It. Hated
or Love It, yeah. Ross reviewing Hated or Love It was great. But I didn't know they had a beef, though. I didn't know that Rick Ross and Freddie Gibbs had a beef. Well, I'm glad they did squash that.
It was more one-sided. It was more, if you're an enemy of my people, then you're my enemy type of situation. I don't think Ross, I don't even think it hit Ross' radar.
Okay.
But with that being said, his feature is fantastic. Benny's feature is phenomenal. Conway's feature, like all of those songs are so fucking fire. Like all of them, it is high grade, top shelf rap shit, dude. 2020 rap shit. I told you 4 or 5 people hit me up and said, this the one right here. I am now on board. Count me in. Shout out to my guy. I told him I was going to send him a playlist of Gangsta Gibbs shit, and I got you.
Relax. It ain't no need for all of that, bro.
Trust me. He's got heat.
Just stick to this Alfredo, my nigga.
It doesn't sound like this, but he has heat. I've been trying to tell y'all.
No, just stick to this Alfredo, people. It gets better from here. Don't go back. Just stay right here.
What was your favorite joint on here?
Man, you said it. That Frank Lucas, I fucking love with Benny the Butcher. Oh, my God. I love Babies and Fools, though I didn't think Conway's verse went with the song. Conway gonna rip it anyway, but I don't really think that his verse went with that song. But, I understand getting Conway on there. I love Babies and Fools. Skinny Shug was great. My surpriser, my sleeper.
Tyler?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Ripped it. Nigga, this sounds like my boat I'm about to jump off of, nigga, that I ain't bought yet. Like, he was killing that.
That was hard.
Me not being a Tyler fan, not listening to that Igor album, man, not consuming it, as everybody was saying how great it was, man, I was surprised. He ripped this. And it was perfect. It sounded great. It wasn't like, oh, what is Tyler the Creator doing on here? It was actually one of those to make you look up if you're not familiar with Tyler and be like, man, who is this? He ripping it. You know?
So
that was my sleeper. I loved that.
His thing, and he was most recently, I think he was on Conway Project. I think ain't he on Pray for Paris too? If I'm not mistaken. Tyler. He's been in that. Okay, yeah, he's been in this way for a couple of projects, and I think he's also on somebody else's shit. Yeah, he's on Yachty shit. That don't really count. But yeah, he's been on this way for a little minute, so shout out to the Creator. My favorite joints on here, Scotty Beam, obviously. I love 1985, though, man. The way that shit come in, the way them guitars hit, like, man, that shit sounds so good. And I love the last song, All Glass. It's just, bro, 35 minutes. It's complete heat. This is probably one of my favorite albums to play Madden 2 right now. It's been like that since it came out. I would talk about Low Lights, but I don't have any. Mm. I don't think there's a wasted bar on here, bro.
Really? My only low life was the Conway verse. It just didn't go. Like I said, the personality that Freddie Gibbs have and him being able to tell such a great story, even when he's not necessarily telling a story on the track, I just didn't think that Conway's bars fit with that. Conway was, ripping it, but he just went into Babies and Fools mode. So that's my only, if I'm nitpicking, because I did enjoy the Conway verse anyway, but I'd have to be nitpicking to point that out. But if I'm rating it, are we the ratings yet? Is it that time?
Sure, go for it.
Unveiling? Yeah. I'm going with 4.5 reels, man.
Mm.
Like, that's the highest rating that we done put on here. That
superb. My
gave that wasn't a classic already, like that we did on Patreon. I got to go with 4.5, man. This nigga, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this. Merch is dope. Post rollout crushing academics is dope. Like, kudos, my nigga. Freddie Gibbs is in his bag. He has did the quarantine glow up. Join my nigga Tory Lanez in quarantine glow up status. Shout out to him, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's 4.5. It's a superb project. Shout out to the merch. I had the cop. The album was too good. I was feeling it. Merch was dope. The whole rollout was on point, bro. So this is a crazy, ridiculous album. Now, the question is it too early to crown it album of the year, though? Is that an overreaction?
Good conversation to get into here. It's one of those years that it's a year we've never seen before. We've never seen anything like this, and we're not sure what's to come. Before we even start logging on recording, I seen some rumblings that J. Cole may be doing some album promo with an interview at the end of this week. That may be coming. But I think it's within the right temperature of the room to say that this is the album of the year, because we don't expect a lot more coming out this year. Like, I don't think that we were talking about this conversation earlier when we did our mid-year review. I think the temperature was tested. I never got to address this either. Mm-hmm. I said that J. Cole would be the one to test the temperature. And then you would get a response from Kendrick and Drake based off how the temperature was. And I think that Cole did that as soon as we recorded that episode. He dropped that single with the diss to No Name. And I think the temperature was one where nobody's comfortable with. Because everybody's being highly critiqued, and it's all about, and not to say that it shouldn't be, but it's about what are you doing right now? How are you speaking towards the social stuff that's going on? Not really about what would usually entail with an album rollout. Mm-hmm. So I think that J. Cole put his foot in the water, got that backlash that he got, and I think that showed OVO, that showed TDE, QC, we're going to put the reins on all of this. We're going to pull back.
Yeah.
And we're going to let Freddie Gibbs, and we're going to let Griselda, and we're going to let those guys own this year. And once we figure out what's going on post-corona, we roll out the big guys. So to answer the question, could this be album of the year? Is it too early? I don't think so, because we're in an unprecedented time. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, you make a fair point. I think this had the impact. So you could argue there's quality projects that came out this year that people are really feeling. Speaking of Conway, people feeling that Lulu. People feeling that Run the Jewels 4. People feeling that Royce the 5'9 allegory.
Right.
But for some reason, this Freddie Gibbs is sticking a little more to me. It's getting clock in a lot more areas. I feel like a lot more people have become Freddie Gibbs fans.
That's true.
And the timing, man, sometimes you really just can't call it. You might have thought this would have happened last year with the bandana rollout. You might have thought this would have happened before that with the Freddie album, where he leaning across it with the pink suit on like an R&B cut. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's going to stick and what's not. And it seems like this is the one, this is his time. You know what I'm saying? Although, and listen, they saying OVO might got something on the way. They saying they testing the waters too. He got two singles dropping Friday with Khaled. You know what I mean?
Drake?
Yeah.
Really?
So I don't know if that's Khaled joints or if that's Drake.
Using Khaled as a test dummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Khaled drop these off, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know. Big Sean was supposed to have dropped several weeks ago. We think Kendrick would have one in the chamber. Like you said, people are pushing things back, man. I remember this isn't even just affecting music. Look at the sneaker industry. The sneaker industry pushed back all their June releases because it was just too much shit going on. Yeah, with the protests and they didn't feel like it was the time to be dropping stuff like that, man. So it looked like in bad taste that you're still dropping shit that's, if we being honest, kind of irrelevant to the bigger issues that were going on. The block was just entirely too hot. So a lot of shoes that were supposed to come out in June got pushed back to July. And I think music is doing it the same way, except it's just they're pushing it back further, especially now it looks like we're going to be going backwards with this corona shit. Now, we might not get that Drake this year. We might not get that Big Sean this year or that Cole. Like, niggas might just sit this one out.
Mm.
So with that being said, then that means we got the album of the year right here. We're talking about it, dude. It's that Alfredo. It just is what it is, man. I don't think it's an overreaction to call it right now. Call the fight early.
You don't think it's an overreaction based off what the future looks like?
Yeah, the future now, 2020 looking grim for album
just
release.
To go over some of the albums of people, you mentioned a lot there.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the top competition for him if you had to?
I say it would be Pray for Paris.
Okay.
I say it would be Allegory.
Mm.
Those are the three, in my opinion, are in top three in my rotation right now as of today. If nothing else were to come out for the rest of the year, I think Gibbs would have it. But, and all those three projects all have the same thing in common. They have very similar sounds. So the Backpack Hoodie guys, they dropped when this show, well, not Backpack, but the Hoodie Music guys, they dropped during this gap because they knew they had nothing to worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like, this music, trust me, if the world opens back up,
regardless,
bruh, if the world opens back up in fall, late fall, that's perfect for niggas to throw their hoodies and Tim's on and go to this Freddie Gibbs Alfredo show. Like, it's right on time. So, yeah. unless we're in the house until next summer.
They talking about summer 2022.
Fuck out of here.
I promise you, they said that on CNN today, just like an hour ago. Summer 22 is when they expect things to get back to normal.
No fucking way.
Because of the slide. Because of the recent slide, dude. They are literally pushing that narrative right. It's scrolling across the bottom of my screen right now.
That's nuts.
Nuts.
Well, if that's the case, nobody see that coming. We might not ever get a Kendrick album. Shit.
That's some slow.
I feel like somebody like a Kendrick or even fucking like a Gibbs or a Drake, they can do like a virtual concert right now. And that should be dope, man. You can put a paywall behind that shit. It'll be fire.
I'd do that. Like,
I see God do it.
They can rent out the concert, rent out the arena, have no one in there. Like you said, just virtual.
That's too much. It's going to cost too much to rent that out. You ain't got to do nothing major like it.
What are they going to perform at in their house?
No, I mean, Gunna did his outside. I don't know exactly where he was at. Like, he was in L.A. or something. But it's just something with a nice backdrop. It ain't got to be super elaborate.
Oh, well, that's cool. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
They're going to have to figure that out sooner rather than later, because if it's 2022 shit stick, people going to be in a fucking bind. Some other ones that I think compared to that one, thanks for asking, that Run the Jewels 4. I think that's going to be up there with the album of the year, Conversations. Boley James. Well, that's more of a sleeper for me. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that and it was something else that I just seen and I'm hot. I can't find it now.
You're heated.
Very much so. So I'll go directly to my sleepers. My sleeper albums, 42 Doug, Young and Turnt is banging.
Young and Turnt 2?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I ain't like that one as much as part
one. You didn't
one.
Like that?
No, I like part one better.
I like part two. It was banging. T Grizzly. What is it called? In School, Higher Learning.
Smartest one
in the room. Something to do with books and classes.
Yeah, I ain't like that either.
Banging.
Nah. Banging. He got a couple joints on that song with Big Sean. Banging.
That album is banging. Y'all check out that T Grizzly. I really like that. So that's a sleeper for me. Yeah. Those albums, I think, will be slept on this year, but people should really check them out.
If you look at, we've been doing our top 10 albums of the year episodes since 2015. If you look at who we picked for album of the year for each one of those years, I feel like this Freddie Gibbs album is on par with these projects. Let's look at 2015. I chose Dark Sky Paradise, Big Sean. Mm-hmm. You chose Scarface, Deeply Rooted, which
Deeply
I know you
rooted.
Wish you could take back.
Still banging it to this day. That's better than the fix.
2016, I had Life of Pablo.
Of course.
Kanye is number one. You had DJ Khaled, Major Key.
Yeah, I see.
So you're 0 for 2 in 2015.
What came out that year?
I Got the Keys. I Got the Keys was on that album.
And Wild Thoughts and shit? Well, that was after the Wild Thoughts album. It was on the Wild Thoughts album?
I think Wild Thoughts was on, though.
Oh,
I don't feel like fact checking it because the album is just a little cool. And it did not deserve to be
what
number one.
What year was that?
That was 2016.
Now, that one may be a mistake. What happened right there?
2017, I had Kendrick Lamar's Damn as number one, and you had Jay-Z 444.
Let's go.
In 2018 and 2019, we had the same one. It was very anticlimactic. We both had Nipsey Victory Lap in 18, and then we both had Game Born to Rap in 2019.
I didn't realize 444 and Damn came out in the same year.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. That's a heavy year. Last time we saw Kendrick Lamar in public, 2017.
Damn, it don't seem like the same time.
Yep. Haven't heard or seen that nigga since. Somebody please find Kendrick Lamar. But I say that to say this, I feel like I can put this body of work up there with those projects and it fit. It won't look like, that don't belong. That belongs in these projects. Now, obviously, these are bigger. Kanye's a bigger artist. Kendrick Lamar's a bigger artist. I get it. Their impact is going to be on another level. So don't think I'm saying that Gangsta Gibbs, his impact is the same as Kendrick Lamar's. It's not. But quality of work, body of work, I'm putting that up there with these projects, and I feel comfortable in doing so. After hearing what you had for Album of the Year for the last 5 years, does that Gibbs fit with these? Would it make sense?
Yeah, I think it fits. And I'm changing my 2016.
Please.
Going back and retroactively changing that to Views. Views was easily the best album of that year.
You shitted on that Views. I had it number two and you shitted on it.
Yeah, I was hating on them. Now it's banging, though. It's probably his best album. Now. But, yeah, as I said, Freddie Gibbs growing into the artist that he's growing into now, I agree with you. It does fit. He has been making his way for a long time, and at some point you make that jump from just a cool little rapper dude to a star. And I think that he's making that jump. He's put himself in the right position. He's already been in the movies and stuff, and I think he conducts himself well. This ain't going to be, like, new to him. Like, once he started getting critically acclaimed treatment, it ain't going to be new to Gibbs because he's been in this role before because he's been able to rap his ass off for a long time. So I think that this is right there on par with the other albums that we've had, and it's definitely not a long shot.
It's not too late to change your 2015 from Deeply Rooted to Pimp a Butterfly. It's not too late.
Definitely not changing that. The Deeply Rooted was the best thing going there, but the TPAB is banging. It's probably one of my favorite albums now, but of that year, in that moment, it was there. And also, my 1A of that year would have been that Yo Gotti, The Art of Hustle. That was banging, too.
Man, fuck out of here. That didn't make your top 10.
And Yo Gotti was banging.
I will have a Freddie Gibbs playlist on Apple Music and Tidal coming very soon. Don't you worry about a thing.
I'll shoot it to you
so you can get some education on Gibbs. Can I talk about the time I almost met him, but I blew it, and I still ain't forgave myself?
You washed, and you shouldn't. And you sound like a fanboy right now.
It's okay to be a fan. Shit.
True. But you were hot still because you didn't meet him. I don't know. That's where you kind of like border the line of not being okay still. It's okay to like somebody. You're right. But still being mad about not meeting him. That's the fanboy. Right.
Not there. Just meeting him, but I had a chance to chill in the studio with him, which would be cool. Fuck out of here.
You know what they do in the studio.
What? Music, motherfucker, and I would have been in there. I fuck around, made a skit or something.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Oh, I ain't forgave myself about that shit either.
Yeah, you got to seize those moments, man. You're in the business.
I know, man. Fuck that flight. I had a flight to catch, and I was scared to miss it. I don't know. I'm hot at myself.
Holler at the PJs. All
right, man, before we get out of here, let's get to some wins and some losses.
Okay.
First of all, y'all let us know, too, what y'all think about the Album of the Year, man. Is it too soon to call that Gibbs Album of the Year? Y'all let us know. Go to Facebook and the Rap Chat. You know how we get down on Deck TV Podcast on IG. All right, we got a W to hand out to NLE Chopper for graduating high school at Greater Praise Christian Academy in Memphis. He dedicated the graduation to his mom, man. Big look for NLE.
That's cool. What is he, old? Like, I don't understand. Why, him graduating high school, like, is this a GED type thing? Or did he go back to get it?
I think he went to high school to get it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. He's just a famous star graduating high school. Shout out to L.E. Chopper, man.
He on this Quavo shit right now, graduating high school. Just a little late, better late than never.
Better.
We got a W to Pop Smoke's investigation. Apparently, 5 people have been arrested in connection with the murder of Pop Smoke. 3 adults and 2 minors. Apparently, they can face the death penalty.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is wild. I'm glad they caught those people a murder in a neighborhood like that. Definitely wasn't going to go too long without them catching somebody and putting it on somebody. So if these were the people responsible, I'm definitely glad that happened, man. Rest in peace again to Pop Smoke.
Yeah, one of the people accused filmed himself being arrested and detained. Did you see that?
I ain't see that.
He had his phone still on him. He was filming himself getting arrested. It was weird. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. One of the young dudes or one of the older guys?
He looked like one of the young dudes.
That makes
very
sense.
Very clout chasey.
It makes sense.
Lame. All right. And lastly, a W to Jay-Z. He and his company, Roc Nation, have taken out full-page ads in the newspaper again across the country, highlighting local black-owned businesses. This was in response to a study in April that said 45% of black-owned businesses will be in danger of closing within 6 months due to COVID-19.
Shout out to Roc Nation and Jay-Z for this, man. This is dope. It's big. I hope he continues to do it and puts spotlight on black businesses like ours, and I hope we continue to grow from him.
My only concern is that he put these ads in the newspaper, and I don't know anybody that still reads the newspaper.
It's going to be on the digital version, too. It has to be.
Is it? There's a, you I read just, the digital newspaper?
No.
Exactly.
What my takeaway from this was is when it's a headline like this, it's always Jay-Z did it. But when it's a headline in the negative, it's Roc Nation did it.
I don't know about that, though. You know, What's a negative headline from Roc Nation, though?
Well, I mean, with just anything. If it comes out and they say that Roc Nation is having this issue or whatever it may be, I feel like that they say Roc Nation before they say Jay-Z. And when it's a praise, they say Jay-Z.
I don't, pay attention to that next
time. No, watch. I'm telling you, watch. Next time you see a release.
It's kind of interesting because he's on his Robin Hood shit right now, because you know they hit, Roc Nation got a PPP loan from the stimulus package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I seen it. What did it say? Did it say Roc Nation got a PPP loan or Jay-Z got a PPP loan?
It said Jay-Z. Jay-Z and Roc Nation. That's what it say. So wow. They got the PPP loan, but he you could argue he's using that.
I was going to say, why wouldn't he, though? Like, people kill me talking about these Bitcoin. Like, well, yes, the government is giving out money for businesses to continue to do what they do. Yes, I don't give a fuck if Roc Nation takes it.
This wasn't in, like, a negative. It didn't have a negative connotation to it.
They were just telling you the people that got PPP loans.
Yeah, that's all. So, I mean, I look at it like, what'd he say? I can't help the poor if I'm one of them. Get rich and give back. That's the win-win.
That's the win-win.
That's what he's doing, man. So. Shout out to Hove doing big things. On Decker of the Week. We got two On Deckers of the Week. This might be a first.
Swag.
Shout out to our latest Patreon subscribers, Malik and Mary. Shout out to y'all. I hope y'all enjoy the content that we got cooking. They sound like they might be brother and sister. I don't know if they're related.
Malik and Mary. Maybe.
Can't you see like some twins or something?
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense.
I can see that. But shout out to them. Thank you for supporting The Real. Thank you for everyone who has already signed up to Patreon who we didn't get to shout out. Our apologies. We slept.
But we appreciate you.
Yeah, and new changes coming to Patreon soon. There will be more tiers available. And when you see more tiers, that means more content. Something for everybody, man. Sports, fashion, hip-hop coming very soon to Patreon.
Yes, absolutely. You guys enjoy that.
Absolutely. Link in the description to subscribe and support The Real. You got something to put me on?
Yes, video game people. Everybody golf. That is the video. Like, if you like a casual, everybody golf.
Okay.
If you're like a casual golfer, you're not like very Tiger Woodish and you ain't looking for a real simulation game. If you remember the Hot Shots Golf back in the day, that was on PlayStation. Download this Everybody Golf. It is absolutely man-fucking-tastic. I've been playing the shit out of that. So it's a video game.
So cold at that shit.
I used to dog walk you though.
Oh my god!
I was the Hot Shots champion.
This is from the same people. They just changed the name.
Yeah, it's dope too.
It's super dope though. I got it too. I ain't gonna lie, that shit dope. Yeah. I love those golf games like that, man. That shit fun as hell.
Tough. What you put on for the week?
I gotta put you on to clear shoebox containers from the Container Store. Listen, I thought I was the last person on earth to give up my shoeboxes. I didn't want to. Shout out to J-Hove. He's been telling me for months and months, bro, you got to get the drop top shoe box clear cases from the Container Store. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck? What is that? It makes your shit look so much more organized, so much more clean. I'm not going to lie. I got to go re-up. Got to order me some more. If you go get them from the Container Store, make sure you sign up for their email. You get an extra 15% off. But they're constantly on sale, 20%, 30% off. So you do the 30% off, then you get an extra 15% off when you sign up for the joint. So
sweet. I'm all if about you had them trash ass Yeezys back there, that'd be a nice setup. Shit. It'll burn them.
It's gonna keep my Yeezys pristine, goddammit.
You got the MAGA shoes back there.
They're gonna preserve my Yeezys. This is perfect. MAGA shoes. Nah, but invest in that, man. It's pretty dope. And man, other than that, it's been another episode in the books, as you would say. Do us a favor, On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram. Shout out to iTunes too, man. Somebody left us a comment.
Yeah, man, make sure you guys do go rate, subscribe, and like. That still helps us out, continues to put us in people's faces. Definitely helps independent podcasts like ours. Go to the Patreon page, sign up for it. Go to the YouTube. Make sure you are a subscriber. That's YouTube Real Veal. Go to that page, sign up for us. Check out all the videos and the latest from the site.
Yeah, man, shout out to Trav Tritt. Left a comment, said dope pod, gave us 5 stars. He said, I'm rocking with Spike and the Animal. Good looking.
Appreciate you. The Animal is disgusting.
That's real. I like that.
The Animal.
I like that. I like that, Trav.
You look like the Animal. That's okay, you have a new nickname.
Man, yeah. Hey, until the next time, man, we are out. We'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir. On the track.